Welcome to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I just woke up from a nap because when I wake up at 4 a.m., it really gets me later on in the day. Especially, I was off the last 2 days. I went to the Japanese gardens. I went to a Thai temple, which I'll get into later. But work is, there's something weird going on there. I think I started on this in the last episode. And let me talk about it just a little bit, right? Like, this is what I'm starting to gauge. I've been there like 2 weeks now. And there's definitely conflicts with certain people there. So there's a Brazilian chef there. Well, he's a CDP, but he acts like a chef. What I've noticed with Brazilians is on the surface, they act happy, but underneath, they're anything but. And this CDP, he is quite gossipy. So he has a favorite worker that he chats with. And during lunch, they go somewhere together and then they talk about whatever is going on at work. But it seems to be very gossipy between the two of them. Okay, so last week, I was asked to build a chocolate raspberry layered cake. And it's a full sheet tray, okay, which is quite large. This cake has 6 different layers, maybe 7. It has a lot of layers. So the base is a chocolate jacquard. On top of that is a raspberry jam. On top of that is a caramel chocolate ganache. Then there's another chocolate jacquard. Then there's a layer of ganache and another layer of raspberry jam, something like that. And then on top, there's another chocolate jacquard. So there's 3 layers of sponge. But I messed it up. So I had to make 12 different sheet trays. Now, 12 is a huge amount. Okay, it's a very big batch. So the first layers are caramel chocolate ganache and a raspberry jam. You have one set and then you pour the ganache over it and then the sponge over that. But the first layer, there's no sponge in between the ganache and the jam. So I got confused because the very top layer, you have a layer of sponge, then ganache, then sponge and jam, something like that. But I missed the last sponge. And I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I just repeated what was on the first couple layers. But it's different. The chef noticed, okay, the next day he was cutting them. So every day we make all the pastries for the pastry case in 2 locations. Everything has to be done by 9:30. If we're understaffed, we're late. And then it screws us up for the prep for the next day. But today, actually, we were on time. We were ahead of time, which I've never had happen before. So I guess that can happen. Anyway, he was cutting it up and he noticed there's a 3rd layer of sponge. And he's like, these are wrong. And I'm like, what? Like, not good. Okay, so it's a little shorter than it should be because that sponge is going to make it taller. And it's missing. The 3rd layer of sponge is freaking missing. And they sell them as whole cakes. So they cut the sheet tray in 4s, and then you have individual cakes. And it's beautiful because it's topped with this raspberry glaze, very shiny, and then you can see the layers when you cut it. You know, so you cut the edges and then you put it on a board and it's sold with that, like the open edges. The thing was, he said it was shorter. So he goes and tells the manager. So there's 2 kind of managers. They work in the office, but they're also kind of the gauges for the stores, like everything that happens, you know. So he tells the office person that it's shorter, but we don't have any other option, you know. Meanwhile, there's 12 sheet trays of this, and it was a Saturday, Sunday. 4 sheet trays were just for one day. So for the whole weekend, that's 8 trays. That's almost all of them. Anyway, so she said it's okay you know. So, but I was like, damn it. Like it, you know, it had to go up to that person. Because let's say a regular came in and they criticized, right? They're paying the same price and there's a layer missing. Then they're going to complain and send pictures to the owner, let's say. And I guess this has happened with other things. You know, when there's complaints, like someone took a picture because they saw eggshells in one of the sponges and they sent that to like HR. You know, so there's always that chance, right? So he said he wanted to tell the manager just so that they know in case there's a complaint, you know, so that all bases are covered. Makes sense. It just sucks. It sucks that I didn't realize. Anyway, I said it won't happen again. You know, now I know. And I've written down the actual layers in my notebook. Like, the thing is, the previous job I worked at, it was very organized. Just all the binders, everything was there. All the information was there. And here, it's not so easy, right? Like, most people know what they're doing and they've written it in their notebooks because the information is harder to find. There is a binder, but everything is kind of flying all over the place, you know? So it's not 100% like easy to find. Like, and I could have gone back to find the layers, but I also had a time constraint. So that day, it was a Saturday, we were falling behind because it took forever to send the order out. It came out like an hour and a half late. So on the other end of that, prepping for the next day was very, very hard. You know, we really only had like 2 hours and I had to build these cakes very quickly. You know, so I was sweating, I was trying to make it happen, and I thought I was doing well. I didn't realize I missed a whole layer. Okay, so that sucks. And then I was told to work on a tiramisu for the next series of new desserts, which come out October 6th. I said, okay, that's fine. They also asked the Brazilian CDP to make one. I don't know why. Why did they ask me to make one if they also asked him to make one? You know, so he is the go-to person for new recipes and new desserts, and he makes it. Okay, great. But then why ask me to also make it? Okay, so I made a traditional tiramisu, a recipe that I have from Italy when I worked there. And it has Marsala wine in it. And his was one without alcohol. So I just built it. They wanted it in a plastic container. So when you put it in the case, people can buy it and take it with them. So they wanted a traditional tiramisu in there. So I made a recipe. Like, I just built it. I put it away to chill. And traditionally, like, it's better, tiramisu is better the next day, not the day of, you know? The sponge is soaked and you just kind of got to let it marinate. What happened was the two office people, they wanted to try it. So that day was a day of a tasting where the owner was tasting some of the new recipes. So one of the office people tries, like, I just made it. And I said, it's better if it were to just sit, you know, just let it sit. She tries it and she didn't see that I was watching her. And she shakes her head at the other office guy, like she doesn't like it. You know, and then I say, I just built it. You know, it's better if it's tried in a few hours. But instead of them going with mine for the owner, they went with the tiramisu from the CDP, which means chef de partie. So I don't know why they wanted me to make it, but they didn't like it. So they never had the owner try mine. They just showed, you know, the tiramisu from the other chef. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what goes on here, like what games happen, but I'm like, okay. I mean, that's the point of a tasting, is to try it, you know, to see. Anyway, that didn't happen. So then I asked the chef, you know, there is an actual pastry chef, and I'm also a pastry chef, and we're on the same level, and we're supposed to cover the kitchen, right, and help and make sure everything runs smoothly. But I'm not seen as the pastry chef at this point. Everything's kind of deferred to the CDP, the Brazilian CDP, instead of, you know, and I'm noticing that the Brazilian CDP is very sensitive, very moody, you know, the typical traits of a chef, even though he's not a chef, but okay. And he has like an ego, whereas the actual chef, he's very different. He's not a traditional chef. He doesn't really have an ego. He's very easygoing, and he just wants things to run smoothly and to be ready for the next day. You know, like, just, this is positive. This is why I chose to work there, because during my stage, I worked with him and I liked him and I got on with him. The thing is, though, he doesn't put his foot down. He doesn't like conflict. But there's other personalities in the kitchen that like to take over, you know, and the chef then gets very quiet. He doesn't like to create drama, you know, not that you should create drama, but some things you just have to put your foot down. You know, you're the chef, you decide. So anyway, I'm seeing there's something going down and, you know, it's like, do I say something or do I just continue doing my thing, because I only just started, right? So I made a caramel. So there's a pecan tart. On the very bottom, it has a vanilla cremeux. And then on top of that, it has a caramel, which is whipped. On top of that, it has pecans, like roasted pecans on top of that. And on the very top, as a decoration, it has a vanilla cremeux, like kind of rose from a mold. Okay, so it has the exact same recipe on the very, very bottom than it does in that mold. The only difference is there's 6 grams more gelatin in the mold versus inside the tart. I get it. You want a different texture, right, inside the tart than you do in the mold. The mold has to hold up, which is fine. But when we're always behind, 6 grams is nothing because it's quite a large recipe. Okay, so one recipe you can fill like 40 tart shells. So I told somebody, make a double batch and use the same amount of gelatin. You know, the greater amount of gelatin versus the lower, because the whole recipe is exactly the same. And then he said, doesn't it kind of mess up the integrity of the recipe? And I'm like, no, it doesn't. And then he's like, what is your position? Are you CDP? I'm like, no, I'm pastry chef. And I even told the chef, I said, we're behind. We don't have any tarts for tomorrow. Let's use the same amount of gelatin. Like, this doesn't make sense. And then he said, I need to speak to the CDP who created the recipe, you know, but he didn't seem against doing this because we were falling behind. You know, we didn't have time to make 2 different recipes, one with more gelatin, the other with less, you know, but today he wasn't there, the CDP, so I couldn't discuss these things with him. So he seems, I guess, very touchy, right? Anyway, the second layer has a caramel, like a whipped caramel. It's a sauce, but it has enough butter in it that when it hardens, they whip it. So I made a double batch to get ahead. It does have a lot of cream in it, you know, the way caramel sauces do. And the double batch was a little bit scary because, you know, when you've brought your sugar to the right temperature that you want it, like that caramel color, when you've brought it to that and you start adding the cream, it bubbles up. And I even warmed up the cream, you know, so it didn't even bubble up like crazy, but it still bubbled up because the sugar is still a higher temp than your cream. It was a good caramel, you know. So I guess what they make a one-time recipe. And it's lighter, like it's quite a light caramel. So it's sweeter. So I had off the last 2 days and I made this on a Sunday so that they would be ready for the tart shells on the Monday. I came back today. One of the pastry cooks said, by the way, your caramel turned out burnt. So they ended up throwing all of it away. By the way, this was like 20 quarts. This was 20 quarts of a whole ton of butter and cream. And I said, what? And then he says, we saved some so you could taste it. You know, and this cook already has like some attitude. I'm like, okay. I said, great, let me taste it. I tasted it. And honestly, this was not bitter at all. Definitely darker than what they made. Not bitter, though, at all. Like, I would say it's like more robust, right? Like a light coffee versus, or a medium blend versus a dark roast. You know, not burnt. It was not burnt. So he's like, do you agree? I said, no, I don't agree. I disagree. I said, this is not burnt. This is not a reason to throw it away. So I told the chef, and he said, what? You know, and he tasted it, and he's like, it's darker, but it's not burnt. Like, three people tasted it. So anyway, I told him, we had a meeting today, to say people need to not throw things away. Like, you need to be the final person that decides. So he did say that, but he said it very, like, I don't know. He can't put his foot down. You know, he did say he doesn't want things thrown away. And he made it sound as if something had gone bad when it was someone else made that decision, you know, the Brazilian CDP. Anyway, so that happened, right? Like, if I make a mistake, okay, that's fine. You know, like, I understand I made a mistake with the cakes. But in this case, it was not burnt, and they threw away all that product, and then they didn't have any tart shells to go out on Monday, even though this product was okay, you know? So I'm like, I don't know what's going on. The thing is, the chef and myself are off Monday, Tuesdays. So that's probably a bad combination. It's like one of us should be on when this CDP is there because he just makes decisions. So today in the meeting, the office guy said he's having the CDP make a different tiramisu in a different container. So with the last batch, the last tiramisu, I used the leftovers I had and I built inside a dome. I added gelatin to my sabayon and I built it inside a dome. And I sprayed it like with 50% cocoa butter, 50% chocolate, and it came out really nice. And I showed it to the office person and he said he really liked it. He's like, can I have this ready by next Wednesday for the owner to try? Like, he just wanted a chocolate ring around the outside to hide the uneven lines between the dome and the board. So I said, yes, you know, so we have a chocolatier. So I told him if he can make this rim and he said yes. So, okay, we'll see with that. But he really liked it. So anyway, they still asked the CDP to make a different tiramisu inside a cup. Okay, so I don't know what's going on with the tiramisu. I'm just making this, and then we'll see. We'll go from there. Okay, so update. This was a couple days later, and the office guy, I call him office guy, but he's like the main dude. Anyway, he said, we're going with yours. He's from New York, so he has a New York accent. He's like, we're going with yours. And I say, okay, what about the container? He's like, no, we're going with yours. He's like, just imagine, we're on a date. Yeah, he said that. I get some beautiful, gorgeous dessert, and you get a tiramisu in a cup. Does that look nice? No, it doesn't. We're going with yours. I'm like, great. So I made another version, not just the traditional tiramisu, because the other office person said she wanted more mascarpone, which is the Italian cream cheese. So I added more mascarpone. It has a more, you know, mascarpone-like texture. It's a little bit thicker. So I created that. But because the mascarpone is a little thicker, You have lines around the outside, so I have to make sure that it's not as thick. Anyway, I'm in the testing stages because now we're going with yours. But what I am seeing, there's a lot of, like some things are not streamlined, and then there's extra gossip. So I don't know what's happening, but I don't know if I fit in. I know I just started, but I can clearly tell that the Brazilian CDP is not happy there. And apparently there was drama that happened that I found out. The chef told me, I guess a few months ago, he asked the CDP if he could help him with something. And the CDP said, I would rather quit than help you. And that's what he said. So I don't know what that is about, but he definitely has issues with the chef. So, more to uncover. But at this point, I'm like, okay, I'm still learning. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. But there's definitely personality clashes. Meanwhile, at home, I've had so many projects every day. Like I built a cabinet together that I had for the books. I built a shed, which was a nightmare because the instructions were so like unclear. They were unclear. It was just pictures of the parts, but there were so many different parts that it was just unclear how to put it together. And I did put it together, but I missed a couple of things in between. Like I missed some of the drawing and it came out a little messed up. Like my handles came out loose because I forgot to add the pin inside the lock of the handle. So you can't lock it, but that's okay because my yard is enclosed, right? It's in my backyard. Nobody's coming in my backyard. And it's just like the shed for my business things that I had when I was doing the farmer's market in San Diego. I kept it because I'm thinking, okay, my friend is here. We could do an event at some point. When you buy something and you try and sell it, everyone just wants to pay $20. You know, like there's no point in selling it. It's more hassle to sell something and you still don't get money from it, really. You know, it's like reduced 95%. Like nobody's willing to pay for anything, especially now. So I kept these things. It's like a table. It's a tent. I have my fryer for the donuts. You know, I have my camping oven, which was great because my friend came over and we've been recording for Instagram. You know, so we make certain things and she films and then she edits the video and she has so many followers. There's way more views than if I post something, you know, so instead I'm a collaborator. You know, it's been fun. It's just nice to have someone that lives in the same town. Like the last time I lived here, it was over 15 years ago. So much has happened in that time. And now we're finally able to get together, you know, which is great. We baked brie in a quick puff pastry that she made. And we added tomato jam and bacon jam inside of it and baked it in my camping oven. So what I've noticed is LA, it's like some tropical temperatures. I don't know what happened, but it's so hot here. I got used to San Diego. You know, it cools down. The ocean is right there. Here, I'm stuck behind the mountains in the valley. I swear it's been like 90 every day. It's so hot that I'm like, what is happening? Like, I just want it to cool down. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but you know, rain is like not a lot of rain. So it's been really humid and muggy. And I swear it just feels like I'm in Hawaii or something. It's so tropical. I used the camping oven and we baked the baked brie outside, which was nice because it didn't make the apartment hot. You know, so my apartment, it gets warm easily, especially when it's so hot. I don't have built-in AC. I have it in a couple of the windows. And then during the day, I close all the windows. I close the curtains so that when I come home, it's cooler. Like it's cooler inside than it is out, thankfully. But anyway, when I want it to cool down, like it'll be cooler at night, you know, when I'm sleeping. But the last few days, it's just been humid at night. you know? So either LA got hotter, or I just don't remember it, you know, or I've just been too used to the ocean weather. I don't know. But anyway, we had this great spread and we talked about baking. We made this fruit platter. We grilled the peaches and the figs. I made a focaccia and we toasted the bread and then we dipped that into the baked brie. It was so good. We made this tomato lemonade, which was delicious because tomato has a natural umami. You know, if you ever hear about umami, it's just well-balanced flavors. And tomatoes have that naturally. There's certain other vegetables that have that naturally. So we made a lemonade, basically three lemons, basil. I put some basil in there, two tomatoes, little agave, little water, and you muddle it together. And then we added like a lime, like a carbonated lime water. And it was so delicious, super refreshing. It was such a good drink, so I really recommend it if you want to make it. So also, the Instagram is Chef KB, K-A-Y-B-E-E, if you want to check out these videos, that's up to you. But I've put together my backyard. I have these zero gravity chairs from Amazon. They look great. I got a really good deal on them. And just the whole yard is put together now. I've got my plants. I love being out there when it's not too hot. And the thing about LA is there's helicopters all the time that I totally forgot. You know, like the city is so large that when there's traffic, you just hear helicopters. And especially now, it's like rush hour. So there's just helicopters flying around. You know, there's police as a helicopter. So I live close to the freeway, so I'm just constantly hearing helicopters. You know, city-wise, yeah, San Diego was nicer. But since I've been here, I've also had a few auditions. So I had a Pillsbury audition where I had to look as if I'm baking something. It was for the holidays. So I had to record me like having a great time. And then two other commercials, you know, like auditions. So I haven't booked anything yet, but it's nice that I'm getting a chance, you know. So we'll see how that goes. And then last week, I met with another friend, longtime friend, and she's an art curator. So we went together to an art show. And the artist is Kayla Tang. And it was a really cool show based on... So she's a burlesque dancer, and she has done that in the past. But she made these ceramic, like, platform shoes or... And I don't know what they're called, but when you dance and you put them on your chest, you know, like with tassels. So she made these out of ceramics. She also made a mixed media art piece using dance costumes that she's used and put them as like one piece. And it looked like just cloth kind of billowing out of a frame. Like it looked really cool. So we went there, and then we decided to go to the Tofu House for dinner, which I ate too much, you know. But it's just, I haven't had this in such a long time, to just be able to hang out with friends, you know. So that was really nice. And then Monday, on my day off, I decided to go to the movie theater, because it's freaking hot here all the time. And I decided to see Downton Abbey. So it's something that I used to watch with my mom. Even if something was going on and we didn't feel good, it always made us feel better, you know. So I decided, yeah, I want to see that. And it just made me think of my mom. You know, Maggie Smith, the actor in the show, she passed away. They had a portrait of her up, like in this movie. And then they did kind of a flashback. So at the end, one of the characters is in the main entrance and she's looking back at previous memories she's had in this entrance, seeing certain people in her family, you know. So that was actually really emotional, just the fact that I used to watch it with my mom, you know. So she was flashing back, seeing all these different family members like dancing in the hallway or doing certain things, you know. And then I thought of, wow, like, it's, this show's been on a long time, You know, and there's been a few movies made of it. You know, so it was really nice. It was nice that I went to see it. And I thought of my mom because she said, no matter how you feel and no matter the problems they have, right, like in the show, everything always kind of works itself out. You know, and it might not be like that in our lives. You know, but the fact that even these people have problems and it works itself out, you know, then there's hope. There's hope that even regular people's problems can work itself out in different ways. You know, so I did that. And then the next day I decided I wanted to do something in the area. You know, this is the first day off I've had where I haven't had to deal with move or boxes or putting something away or organizing. And the way I am, right, once I've done that, I like to see my neighborhood. I was looking at, like, zooming in on maps, kind of what's in the area. And just 10 minutes away, actually like 8, there's a Thai temple in North Hollywood. And I was like, oh, I want to go there. I went there and there's a whole kind of restaurant market. I think they open at lunchtime. I went before. But there's like a food court and it's everything Thai. So I definitely have to go back. They were like pre-setting up. Like some of them were, you know, getting all their stuff together. It's like an open, like a farmer's market, but everything's Thai. And then right next to that is a temple. And I went in and there was a prayer going on. And I like sat and I went up to the Buddha. I lit a candle, you know, and I left my prayers, you know, and it was just a really nice moment. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna live here for a while, right? This is my neighborhood. And I thought, yeah, like it's nice. And I like churches. Like, it's not like, oh, I have to go to a church or a temple. Like, I respect any holy place. I think churches are beautiful in their own way, especially the architecture. Temples, I love, you know, especially after when I traveled to India, when I traveled to Japan. Like, I just respect any holy place. I did that, and then I thought, oh, it's still, like, early. Like, what else is there to do in my neighborhood? And then I saw there's a Japanese garden. And I love Japanese gardens. I feel like most white people do, right? Like, I love gardens and I love Japanese things. So a Japanese garden is perfect. Okay, so I thought, okay, this will be like a quick thing. They close at 3:30. It was like they reopen at 1 because they close for lunch. And it turns out it's free. I said, oh, okay, even better. I get the address. At 1, I drive over there. The road that I'm supposed to turn into, and it's only like 12 minutes away, the road I'm supposed to turn into was blocked off. And I was like, what? Like, how do I get in there? So then there was a sign saying to go around. So the Japanese garden is set in a public park. So I had to go to the entrance on the opposite side of the park. So I did a U-turn. I drove around the whole park to the other side. And then I went into that entrance. Turns out they had part of the road closed off because they were filming something, like a movie or something. You know, there were trailers and things like that. And there weren't any signs for the Japanese gardens. I was looking on my maps, but it was so vague, you know. All of a sudden, I went from one parking spot, and then already I'd passed the gardens, and I didn't know where they were. So I asked a police officer who was guarding the whole movie set thing, and I said, where are the Japanese gardens? And he's like, just behind you, you know, and he said where this truck is coming out, and I couldn't fully see the truck, but I turned around in my car, and there were these gates. There was one gate, it said, like a water sanitation reclamation park, you know. And on the other side, it said you need to have official ID. So I was so confused because everything was behind a gate. So I'm like, I have no idea. I was like, what is he talking about? So then I drove a little further away and went to just a parking spot by the park. I said, I'm going to like check this out. I'm going to walk over there and see. Freaking, it's hot, right? It's just always hot. So I walk over there and then I see the gate for this water reclamation park. Very small, there's a sign for the Japanese gardens. It's inside this water sanitation place. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. Like, why would you have a free Japanese garden at a water sanitation? I mean, I know Japanese gardens, you know, they need a lot of water. Like, you need the ponds, you need the waterfalls. But it was just so weird. Like, why make it free? Anyway, so I walk in, the gate opens. I don't have to ask anybody, it just opens. So it would have opened with my car, but I was just so confused. It wasn't obvious. So I walk in. Meanwhile, everyone else is driving. I'm like, okay, whatever. I go to admissions and she gives me, you know, the map of the park. I walk in and it's beautiful. Like, it's free. It's huge. Like, it's really big. And there's like two other people there. I know this was Tuesday at like 1 p.m., but it was really empty, like in a weird way. I've never seen a Japanese garden this empty. So I'm walking around. There's ponds, there's waterfalls, and then I'm also smelling kind of the cleaned water, you know, but I'm smelling some sulfur. I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, it smells a bit semi-cleaned, you know, like, and then I see there's a lot of fish in the water. I walk around. I was probably there for about an hour, you know, but it was just so empty. But I took a couple pictures. And that was nice. And then, so there's a bridge where you can walk to and view the water sanitation area. So I walk over there, I cross the bridge, and I see all these different pools for how they're cleaning, like, the sewer water, basically. And then there's signs saying they're using this cleaned water in the Japanese gardens. And it was just so weird. It was so weird, you know, that they're using this water. I mean, it's good because they're putting it to use. But it was just such a strange pairing, you know, just water sanitation department with a free Japanese garden. I'm like, okay, it's pretty. It was free, so okay, I won't complain. And then as I'm leaving, I stop. You know, there's a light, but it's like a little further back. Okay, so I pull up just a little bit and then a camera goes off. Like, I drove in front too much. So I'm a little nervous that I got like some weird camera ticket, even though I didn't cross an intersection or anything. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on with that. And then I forgot, you know, because years ago, I did cross a red light and I got a camera ticket. And at that point, this was like, I don't know, 18 years ago. And back then it was $400. So if I did get a ticket, I'm like kind of afraid. Like, and then I remembered, I'm like, oh, right. LA has all these camera tickets. So I'm like, I hope I didn't get some weird ticket. So yeah, I'm getting adjusted to being back. I do miss San Diego. Like, I miss how easily you can get to the ocean. You know, I miss how easily you can get places. Here, it's such a big city, but there are other opportunities that I didn't have in San Diego, you know. And yes, I can always visit San Diego, but it's definitely, LA is definitely a different kind of place. You know, nobody has patience. Everyone's always trying to pass you and not let you in, and just traffic-wise. So I'm actually really happy that I'm taking the metro to get downtown, even though I'm seeing strange people every morning, right? Like, there's some homeless, there's junkies. I don't know. There's all kinds of mixed people in the subway, same as in New York. But here, there's just a lot less people. So the vibe sometimes is a lot weirder. But I am grateful that I'm not stressed. I'm not sitting in traffic. It's $1.75 one way. I'm saving gas. Like here, it's like over $5 a gallon, you know? And I've had the same tank for the past 2 weeks, and it's still three-quarter full because I'm just driving in the area. So then the same day after the Japanese Gardens, I was so hot, you know? And I was like, oh, I want boba. I want like a boba drink. So I found this one place close to me where they have a Trader Joe's. They have this Paris Baguette bakery. So next to that, I got a boba. And it had a mango. It was a milk boba tea. It had a coconut kind of pudding squares. It was so good. It was really good. And then I decided to get a ham and cheese croissant at the bakery, because when you walk for a long time, you got to get a really good pastry, right? Like that's like for certain. And then it was nice. It was just like a day where I could just do whatever. And then I came home and I took a nap. Like I've just been taking random naps, you know? And I think when you first start at a new job, I don't want to mess anything up, right? Like I'm scared of messing things up. I've already done that. And I don't know where I fit in yet, you know? So it definitely takes more energy in the beginning to get everything down and to remember everything and how you're supposed to do it. So I'm definitely trying to be more alert. But here at the job, the batches are a lot bigger, like a lot bigger batches. And just everything needs heavier machinery, larger mixing bowls. And I'm just feeling physically like, damn, you know, kitchen life is hard. And honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this much longer. I don't have any other options, especially not now. So this is what I've got going on. But I did get the paperwork finalized at the school where I will be teaching. So hopefully that is moving forward. So yes, you know, one step at a time, but definitely this job is like tiring me more. So I just have to take all these like random naps, you know, and go to bed earlier. That's a challenge. So yes, all you can do is one day at a time. And when everything's new, you know, it just takes a while to get settled in. My ex has been calling, and I decided the other day, you know what? I don't want to talk. It's like everything kind of just set in of everything that's happened. And he needed to do what was best for him at the time, you know, and take care of himself. And he wanted to be by himself and leave. So now I feel like I want to do what's best for me, and I just need distance. I need space. I need boundaries. It was not okay. Everything that happened was not okay. And I'm still sad. Like, I'm just still sad about everything because I thought he was that person, you know, and maybe I just put too much pressure on that whole thing. I don't know. But I'm just feeling I need my space, and I'm in a new place. I'm doing all these new things. Why not? Right now is a perfect time for that. So do what you need to do. Do what's best for you. And that's all I'm trying to do myself. I did see my brother the other day. He flew to Venice Beach kind of by secret for his birthday. Anyway, I contacted him asking if he wanted to hang out. So we went out and we had sushi. And we had really good conversation. We were out for a couple hours, but it was just nice to see him. I had another day of work after hanging out with him. And I was so tired. I wouldn't say I went to bed super late, but you know, when you get up at 4, everything else kind of changes. So I did work super stressful just because the list was so long. And the Brazilian CDP has expectations of things getting done. He's off on the weekends, like every weekend. But he thinks we can get a lot more done on the weekend when we have higher numbers, right? We have higher numbers of pastries that need to go out, and we have less people to do everything. So we're like maniacs working, right? My back's constantly sweaty. I'm like always sweaty at work because it's like super stressful. So I get home, right? I'm off like the next 2 days, Monday, Tuesday. I get home and I'm just like, damn, I need to take an edible, right? Like I rarely do edibles. I've probably done them more this year than ever before just because of everything that's been happening. And my mind works overtime. My mind won't stop thinking. And I just sometimes need to relax. So I took an edible and it's low milligram, like nothing crazy. But because I do it so rarely, the effects are super relaxing, right? So I did an edible. I went for a swim. I get back. I shower. And then I'm like, oh, damn, I'm like hungry. I haven't really eaten. So I start eating like this chicken salad with crackers. I have a whole avocado. And then I decide, oh, I want like a chocolate croissant. I brought one from work because they were extra. So I had half a croissant. I heated that up. And then I'm like, oh, I need some cheese puffs. So I watch a TV movie and I don't even remember the ending because I think I fell asleep. So I wake up, it's midnight, and I basically just ended up sleeping for like 3 hours. And I wake up, it's midnight, I'm like, oh, I have to go to bed. So I brush my teeth, I go to bed, and now it's my day off. So I thought all I did last night, I just slept. And I guess I needed it. I just needed to rest, right? Because when I know I have something to do, and I know I'm off, I want to do other things. But no, all I did was sleep. And I guess sometimes that's what you got to do. And maybe the edible wasn't the best idea, but okay, I'm feeling pretty good today. So this morning I go up and I put my yoga mat outside in my garden. I stretch and now I'm editing this. I have something exciting coming up. Right. Remember months ago when I was talking about that trip to Italy, my friend, she invited me to a wedding in Sorrento. I've never been to Sorrento. I brought it up to my then husband, you know, that we should go together. He ignored the situation because he was already planning on leaving, which I didn't know. Right. So then I ask him like 4 times, always avoids conversation about it. And then I get mad. Right. He's never answering. And I ask him one more time, do you want to go to this wedding with me in Italy? He grabs his pillow and his blanket and he goes downstairs to sleep downstairs. And that was just like the last straw, right? And I think the next day or 2 days later, he left. I didn't see him again. And he went to some hotel. And that was like the beginning of the end. At that point, I didn't know all of this was going to happen, that I would be here like only 3 months later, because 2 days after, right, like he went downstairs to sleep downstairs, I booked a flight like out of just anger, right? And I booked the wrong flight and I had to rebook it and then all this stuff that I talked about before. I'm just a week away from going to Italy and going to that wedding. And you know what? I'm super excited. Yes, it's maybe bad timing or maybe it's great timing. I don't even know. I'm just accepting it. Like it's bad timing in the sense of, okay, I just started this new job. I need money, but I'm going to Italy. And I did book it like 3 months ago. So this is happening next week and I'll have to tell you about it. On the opposite side, I do have my German friends meeting me there. So they're flying to meet me in Italy. So I'll be with them for a few days. We're hoping to go to Capri. We're hoping to visit Positano. And then I'm going to an Italian wedding. So I'm sure I have lots to talk about on the other side. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time for another episode of Cat the Baker.